I love salads, and I have them a lot, and the salad bar at my neighborhood grocery store is a friend of mine. So I'm especially happy to find out this hour how I can become a salad samurai, and I hope you are too. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July 9th. Our guest is passionate about salads. Not the wimpy side dish salad with a little lettuce and maybe a cherry tomato on top, but big, hearty, healthy vegan salads that use seasonal ingredients, homemade toppings and dressings, salads that are complete meals. We will welcome your questions for her. We'll welcome your favorite types of salads. What do you like on your salad? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Terry Hope Romero, an award-winning author with best-selling cookbooks. She is the author of Salad Samurai, 100 cutting-edge, ultra-hearty, easy-to-make salads you don't have to be a vegan to love. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So you dedicate the cookbook to 16-year-old vegans everywhere. Why is that?
Well, I said that because one of the things that happens when you first go vegan or even vegetarian is that a lot of times the people around you, including people that, you know, that love you and have great intentions, they want to feed you, and you might go out to eat and everyone's eating all the stuff you used to eat. You know, they're eating like, you know, steak or like lasagna or all this other stuff. And, you know, they turn to you and they're like, well, look, there's salad on the menu. And the salad you usually get is something with like, you know, some iceberg lettuce and some bottled ranch dressing and some, you know, pre-made croutons and some pink tomatoes, plasticky tasting tomatoes. And it's just kind of sad. And I know for a long time in my life, I mean, I went vegetarian at 16 and vegan a few years later, like I really hated salad, because that was the kind of salad people would try to serve me or I would see. And so this one is kind of about reclaiming salad, you know, about like, you know, all those, you know, 16, whether or not you're actually 16 or 16 at heart, or, you know, you feel like you're 16 when you're starting out, you know, trying to eat less meat or no meat, you know, at any age. There's just that, you know, that getting over the hump of like the sad salad and embracing that salads can be really amazing, hearty, fun, fantastic meals.
Yeah. And I am not a vegan, but I am a vegetarian, and I am limiting my dairy products and other things as well, though I haven't gone completely vegan yet. I love that you have one. Don't you have a salad that you call the Vegan's Revenge?
Are you talking about the iceberg lettuce?
Yes.
The wedge salad? Yes. Yes. So that one in particular was inspired by, I think I was in some hotel somewhere, I don't know, New Jersey or somewhere outside of like a major metropolitan area, where I was kind of, you know, the only thing to eat and the only place to go was the sports bar in the hotel. And the only thing that looked remotely vegan that wasn't a French fry, because, you know, there's more to life than French fries. Those are great sometimes, but sometimes you need something else, was the wedge salad. And I'm like, you please take all the meat and dairy off of that. So what I got was half a head of iceberg lettuce, a couple slices of like tomato, and I think an onion ring on top. Like, and I was like, what is this? So I decided I want to reclaim that salad. So I made a homemade seitan bacon that you put on top. It's really easy to make, and a really great cashew cream based dressing that has, I think that one might have horseradish in it. Like, and put all like, you know, real tomatoes and still kept the iceberg lettuce, because sometimes iceberg lettuce can actually be kind of fun. And it's a great salad. It's a salad you can actually eat with a knife and fork. It's hearty. It looks fantastic. It's a lot of fun to eat, and it definitely will not leave you hungry.
Yeah. So to talk a little bit about the, you know, the seitan bacon and other meat imitations and substitutes. So why do those?
Well, I think one of the things, you know, people might wonder is like, why would you want to eat like something like kind of meaty if you're not eating, you know, meat? And, you know, the thing is like, one, we all want something with protein in it. And a lot of the classic, like vegetarian vegan meat substitutes do have a lot of protein, and we should be eating them. You know, if you can eat soy or wheat, you should you know, try out tofu. You should try out seitan, which is a meat substitute that you can make out of wheat. You can even make it at home, or tempeh. So all of these things are hearty, they're filling, and they taste great. They really will give you, you know, that kind of, that sort of hearty filling, you know, thing that you want when, you know, you're not eating meat or dairy products. So a lot of these I use as toppings for salads. And a lot of times I'll season them in familiar ways, like in barbecue or with like a bacony taste using liquid smoke or lots of paprika or other things. Because, you know, adding a hot element like a topping to a cool salad is just makes a great, great meal.
And explain the title a little bit, Salad Samurai. And how does one become a salad samurai?
Well, I was just kind of, I really wanted to have fun with the book and be playful about it because, you know, sometimes it's like, how can a salad be fun? So I just kind of was like fooling around with the title. I wanted to call it Salad Ninja, but Salad Samurai was really what ended up happening. So it's more like, you know, let's just have fun with this. And if you really want to get, you know, I guess a little philosophical, you know, let's have some mastery over making salads. And, you know, instead of, you know, feeling like, oh, I don't know how to make a salad. The funny thing about this book is a lot of people told me they're not good at making salads. when I told them about this book, and I'm like, well, let's change that.
Yeah, and I you know, it's not that I love salads, as I mentioned, and I do eat a lot of salads, but I think I depend too much on Whole Foods or the local grocery store just with the salad bar. You also help people like me be able to find the time to make my own salad.
Yeah, I try to address different ways that you can use the book if you are really busy. And most of the salads I find are pretty, you know, straightforward that you can, you know, put together on a weeknight. But you can definitely experiment with only the toppings. So I put the topping section in the beginning of the book because, you know, a lot of those toppings are those hearty, protein-rich toppings or really fun, exciting toppings like different kinds of candied nuts or bacon you can make out of, or rather a coconut you could flavor like bacon. So it's like these coconut bacon chips you can put on top or other things. So you can just make the toppings and apply them to the salads you already make. Or you can just go ahead and jump to the back of the book and make salads that I theme according to the seasons and, you know, complete recipes right there. So it's a book where you can mix and match to your level of salad making experience or comfort.
And because our summer produce is starting to ripen on the vine, our gardens are starting to produce some cherry tomatoes anyway, and some cucumbers and squash, all sorts of stuff I'm seeing people hauling in from their gardens. We'll talk about what we might make on this summer day for dinner tonight. And we'll welcome your questions and some of your favorite salads or salad toppings during this hour. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with Terry Hope Romero. She is the author of Salad Samurai. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about salads, not the wimpy, limpy side salad that you might have from time to time. We're talking about salads done right, a hearty and healthy main meal. Salads that will appeal to vegans and non-vegans alike. And we wonder if you have a favorite salad recipe, or are there salad combinations that might seem strange at first, but are really tasty? Let us know your questions and your recommendations. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, where you can see more information about our guest's book, Salad Samurai, 100 cutting-edge, ultra-healthy, easy-to-make salads you don't have to be a vegan to love. Our guest is Terry Hope Romero, and we have an email from Nick, who says, what suggestions does your guest have for using summer fruits in salads, such as peaches, apricots, cherries? What greens and proteins might she combine with them? Terry?
I love that question. I actually have a great recipe for a grilled produce salad, and specifically peaches.
Yum.
So one of my favorite ways to use summer fruits, I mean, besides just throwing them in there, is grilling them. So peaches are great on the grill. So I have a recipe for a salad that you make a chipotle-based marinade that also serves as a dressing. And then you kind of brush, you have peaches, you brush them on the peaches, and you throw them right in the grill. And you can also throw some roasted corn in there, too. You can grill up the corn. And my favorite salad that I make with that, I use quinoa, which has a lot of fiber and a lot of protein. And I would also throw in some black beans into that salad, too. So that is just a super fun, beautiful salad that's really just screams summer. And cherries I like putting directly in salads, too. I have another salad that I combine plums and arugula, which are really, really special together with a yummy tahini dressing. So that uses sesame paste, so that has a lot of protein there as well. And I also have a roasted tofu topping that I put in there. You can just, tofu is really flexible and really great. So, you can just kind of bake in the oven and cube it. And it has a really dense, chewy texture that, you're not going to get with raw tofu. So, yeah, I mean, arugula, torn up massaged kale, pretty much any kind of lettuce, all those things are just really so wonderful to add to any summer salad.
Oh, does that ever sound good? I'm going to try all of those. But, I am not very good at this tofu, but that sounded super easy. Exactly how do I roast the tofu?
So the one way, the key to making tofu, like the first law of preparing tofu, so it's really a lot better, is to press tofu.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's really easy to do. You just kind of slice your tofu into slabs and you layer it between kitchen towels or paper towels, put a couple, like another cutting board on top of it, and just let it drain. There's also a lot of really great devices out there now you can get on Amazon or you can buy, online that will, it's like a little box or a little press that you can press your tofu in. And it helps by removing water from the tofu, so the tofu gets firmer and chewier and is much more appealing. And then when I roast in the oven, all I do is I make a simple marinade, kind of like making a salad dressing, and kind of baste the tofu and bake it in the oven for maybe about 20 minutes to half an hour. And then you have these tofu cutlets that you can use warm, you can chill them and use cold. You can make like a bunch of them on Sunday night and have all this tofu for the whole week that you can put on top of salads or in sandwiches too.
Yeah, I think I've purchased at the store somebody who made something like that, and it was a little pricey, and that sounds not that hard to do myself. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Well, what about this strawberry spinach salad with orange poppy seed dressing?
Oh yeah, I love that salad. That is that's what I consider a spring salad.
Oh, okay.
And of course you can make these any time of year, really. but yeah, that one I made thinking about spring greens, like all the really great, like fresh, tender greens that we get in the spring and also in the late fall too, and strawberries when strawberries start showing up in June. And so that's just, that uses also a tofu in there as well to add a little bit of protein. But that one really features like fresh berries, like the great summer berries that you see, like and spring berries, like blueberries and strawberries. And the dressing itself, it has a concentrated, really zippy orange flavor with poppy seeds. And my secret to that is using a little bit of orange juice concentrate and using that as a base for the dressing. So it's really such a great, fun, really lively salad that really just kind of screams like, it's springtime, the warm weather's here.
We are talking about and celebrating salads. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your own tips for your favorite salads. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Terry Hope Romero. She is author of Salad Samurai, 100 Cutting Edge, Ultra Hearty, Easy to Make Salads You Don't Have to Be a Vegan to Love. And we welcome your questions for her. Now, James on Facebook is not a vegan because he says what he loves on salads include bacon and feta cheese. So maybe we can talk about some substitutes that we might use instead of those things. We talked a little bit about the seitan bacon that you make. How do you do that?
Okay, so that is made with seitan, which you can make yourself at home. If you can make bread dough, you could definitely make seitan, or at least the way I make it, which uses, you could buy Vitaly gluten, which you can pretty much get in a lot of places now. It's something that a lot of bakers use to make bread rise higher. But using that and a couple other simple ingredients, you make a dough, and I prepare it by steaming it. And, you know, after that, you have this, like, firm, chewy, meaty-looking loaves that you can dice and season any way you want. So, and then I prepare a marinade with liquid smoke that has kind of a bacony taste to it. And I kind of just quickly, you know, fry that up in a pan, and you could put that on top of salads. I also mentioned before coconut bacon, which is something that's becoming super popular with vegans, where we're taking big flakes of coconut, not the shredded sweetened stuff that you put on top of cakes, mm-hmm. but these big, like you know, like dehydrated flakes. And they're getting like Bob's Red Mill. You can mix them, for instance. And you could season those again with a little bit of liquid smoke and a few other things, roast them in the oven, and you have this really, these crunchy, fatty, savory flakes that really give you that kind of bacony experience that you can put on top of salads that really taste great. And for something like cheese that I know people really love to put on salads, that's where I turn to things like creamy things like cashews or, you know, tahini to, you know, and I create creamy dressings and I put that on top of salads. And that really is really satisfying. When you season cashews and sesame paste and things like that with a little bit of lemon and, you know, some salt, you really can get that kind of that combination of creamy, fatty, that really, you know, that I think people are looking for when they want something cheesy on top of salad. Mm-hmm. So those are two really, really great alternatives to both of those animal products that you can put on top of salads that are totally vegan.
Let's go to Jill in Oconomowoc. Hello, Jill.
Good morning. Good
morning.
I just wanted to say I don't happen to be a vegetarian or a vegan, but my love for salads has just been revolutionized this year as I kind of hearkened back to my days as an exchange student in Switzerland. My exchange mom there would go out and pick the stuff for the salad every day, but then what I was remembering this year is she would make the dressing every time. And not from a recipe, which obviously we can all make stuff from a recipe. But so just lately, I've started just whipping up a salad dressing for each, you know, night's dinner or whatever. And, of course, there might be leftovers in the fridge at times. And it just has made it seem so exciting and different. And once you know the kind of ratio of vinegar to oil, it's not like you really need a recipe. You know what I mean? You just kind of, like, go with whims and whatever. And it just makes it, like, a fresh new thing every night. So I just threw out yesterday, I was just telling your screener that I just threw out all my bottled dressings and made a lot more room in my fridge.
Yeah, yeah, I know I have them. They have been there for a year or so. But Jill, tell us what, you know, tell us something, how you jazzed up the vinegar and oil the last time.
Do you know what? I think the basic thing I start with is I kind of like a little bit of mustard to give it a little kick, like some Dijon or, you know, some spicy mustard or something. But then just, I guess, switching up from balsamic to red wine vinegar, like nothing, you know, earth-shattering. Definitely fresh garlic smashed up in there. And then just, you know, whatever herbs. We've got a ton of stuff coming in from the garden as far as herbs and, of course, fresh lettuce and all that. So I guess it just seems like, you know, you can throw some soy in there and ginger if you're doing a meal that has that sort of a bent to it. I guess every night, my husband is actually, who's already kind of a salad fan, is already like, oh, this is a good dressing. And I'm like, I know.
Oh,
it rocks.
It sounds great. And they taste so much better than the ones you can buy at the store, too.
I think it tastes way fresher. You know, mm-hmm. even the best stuff you get from the bottle still tastes like, I don't know, there's stuff in there that's just keeping it alive or something.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. But, you know, and I'm not like Jill, and I don't make my own dressings, but I just have to. So your reaction to that, just vinegar and oil and, you know, jazz it up with different things. Every night she has a new one, Terry.
That sounds fantastic. And, I mean, I'm sure Jill can confirm that probably takes her a couple minutes to do at most.
Oh, like, you know, 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It really doesn't, it takes no time at all to make that kind of dressing, like a simple, really delicious vinaigrette. And and for a different texture, like, Jill, I don't know, do you just whisk it up in like a big measuring cup, or do you put it in a blender?
Do you know what? I'm kind of lazy, so I don't dirty a blender, but I really make sure to be whisking the whole time I'm pouring the oil in, so it, you know, so it ends up really well kind of emulsified. Yeah. And that's why I start with something like a mustard or something, too. I feel like it seems to make it all blend together better.
Oh, yeah. Mustard is a wonderful emulsifier, and it will give your dressing a creamy kind of look and feel without actually adding anything creamy. I love mustard dressing. That's like a classic French dressing you're basically making when it has, like, that Dijon base. And maybe you could throw in some finely minced shallot. I mean, that for a very Frenchy feel to it. Yeah, I mean, you can make that every night and make it different just by changing up what you put in there. And I love that kind of dressing. And, you know, absolutely. After a while, after you've been making it a few times, you don't need a recipe. You just sort of get a feel for it.
I do need a recipe, though. What is the ratio of vinegar to oil when you do that to make it the best?
What do you do, Jill?
You know what?
I've heard
different things. I've heard that you're supposed to have way more oil than vinegar. I like my dressing kind of tangy, so I guess I just start with a bunch of vinegar in there and maybe some lemon juice if I want that. But if I'm in a rush, I start with a bunch of vinegar and my mustard or whatever, do the salt and pepper, do the garlic and all my herbs or whatever. And then as I'm pouring in the olive oil, and I guess you might need to throw in a little sugar or honey too to balance out your vinegar. But as I'm pouring in the olive oil and I'm whisking, I just keep whisking till it looks like a dressing. And then I shove a piece of lettuce in there. And if it tastes, you know, like not too overpoweringly vinegary, I don't know, it's maybe like 1-to-1, I think, vinegar and oil as far as my taste likes, you know.
Yeah, what is your taste like, Terry?
It's pretty similar. I think if you look at a lot of plastic, like vinaigrette recipes, there's a lot of oil. And, you know, I like oil. And I like using good quality oil, like, you know, like extra virgin, like good stuff. But still, I prefer to use, like, a little less. So probably these days, and I do like things tart and tangy. And once you start spreading that over, like, big leaves of lettuce and grains and fruits and tofu, whatever, things will, like, kind of dilute anyway. So
right. Let me jump in because we have news coming up next. We'll continue after the news. Summer and salads are like sunshine and rain, peanut butter and chocolate, or Dungeons and Dragons. So why not make them the best, most outrageously delicious thing you'll want to eat all season long? That is from the summer section in our guest book, Salad Samurai, 100 cutting-edge, ultra-hearty, easy-to-make salads you don't have to be a vegan to love. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are celebrating the salad. We are welcoming your questions. We wonder what you like to put in your favorite salads. You can shout out to the most unusual, fantastic, tasty salad that you have ever had. Help inspire all of us to make a great big salad for dinner tonight. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Terry Hope Romero, author of Salad Samurai. And I was looking at one of the first recipes in the summer section, and it's chickpea salad in a salad, and I love that chickpea salad. It's my favorite sandwich filling now. You can make it at, some people call it mock tuna salad, though I don't think it really tastes like tuna. Do you, Terry?
I don't really know what tuna tastes like.
Right.
I never was a fan before going vegetarian, so I never really ate a lot of, I never ate tuna salad.
Yeah, but talk about the chickpea salad.
Yeah. So this chopped chickpea salad is actually inspired by Tom Colicchio's sandwich shop. Like, they make a great, a mashed chickpea salad. And I'm like, man, I love that stuff. So this is, like, my take on it. And it incorporates preserved lemon. And, you know, like, and Kalamata black olives and lots of garlic and, you know, lots of Mediterranean spices and olive oil. And it's really, really great. And it makes a great sandwich filling, as you said. But for the salad, I decided this is something a little fancier. I love endive. So this is something I suggest that you actually kind of serve in, like, little endive spears or boats. And it's just like a fun handheld salad.
Yeah. What is the preserved lemon?
Oh, so a preserved lemon is something from, like, Moroccan and, you know, kind of Middle Eastern cuisine, where you take a lemon and it is kind of rubbed in salt and spices, and it just, you kind of pack it down with a bunch of lemons and some lemon juice and lots of salt, and it sort of naturally, over a course of a few weeks or even months, kind of pickles and preserves itself. And it really changes the flavor of the lemon. So the lemon gets kind of, it stays sour and it gets very salty and briny and intense. So if you're a fan of pickles and olives and kind of like salty, briny foods, you love preserved lemons. And I talk about how you can make them yourself, but you can also pick them up in any kind of a grocery store that carries like Middle Eastern products or specialty markets as well.
Oh, this all sounds so good. I'm just paging through summer. Polish summer soba salad. Here you use those soba noodles.
Yeah, this is sort of a like a crazy fusion thing that I made up, inspired by, you know, like soba is a Japanese noodle that often uses buckwheat. And buckwheat is also really popular as in Eastern European cuisine as well. So I wanted to combine the two flavors. You know, with a, you know, instead of doing a standard soba noodle salad that usually is kind of Asian, I wanted to do something a little different. So I topped it with things like lots of fresh dill, roasted beets, some white beans, you know, scallions and cucumbers, like things that sort of remind me a little more of what you might find in an Eastern European salad. So it's a really fun and really delicious and beautiful, like sort of fusion summer salad.
I see. So it's the beets and other things that make it the Polish?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that make it Eastern European. Yeah, definitely Polish. Like, definitely beets. Got to have beets and dill.
Yeah, so that sounds good. And I think, do we have that one for putting on the web? I think we do. Yeah, Christy Taylor, my producer director, says that your publicist supplied us with that particular recipe, so we can put that on our website and on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So look for Polish summer soba salad. Another salad that we have, which this is one that you recommend for either early spring or late fall, I guess because of the kale involved, grilled kale salad with spicy lentils. That sounds really great.
Yeah.
And so that's because that's when kale is most plentiful?
Well, I mean, you can get kale really. I feel like kale is now a year-round thing.
Right.
And I definitely use it in my winter salads a lot because, you know, it seems to be plentiful in cool weather. But, yeah, I really recommend it more for, like, the warm weather, I guess, because it's a grilled thing. Because you're actually marinating the kale in a coconut milk-based dressing and then throwing it right on the grill. And for a really different kind of tasting salad, like, grilled kale is really fun. And I know we all, you know, a lot of people just really love to grill stuff in the summertime. You know, like the peaches or the corn. So this is another fun thing that you could throw on the grill and make into a salad.
I'm sorry, I just misunderstood. I thought that was a spring, fall recommendation. But yeah, tell us how you grill kale. I've never heard of grilling kale.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I recommend that you use the what's often called like Lacetano kale or Italian kale or black kale. That kale that's not really the ruffly kind, but it has that like long kind of crinkly leaf. And all you do is just take the kale, and you want to make sure that you marinate it with something with some oil because kale is, you know, doesn't have any fat and it's pretty fragile. So you definitely want to get a dressing that's a little bit on the fatty side and rub it into the kale. In this instance, I use something that uses a lot of coconut milk. So that's got plenty of really tasty fat in there. Kind of coat the kale and put it on your, you know, your preheated grill, and it grills up in a couple of minutes or less. So it will become tender. You might even get a little crispness on the edges of the leaves. And there you go. You have some grilled kale.
Oh, boy. Sounds really good. So, yes, we will put that one, grilled kale salad with spicy lentils and the Polish summer soba salad recipes on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and our website at WPR.org/joy. They are just two of the 100 salads that you will find in Salad Samurai, the new book from our guest, Terry Hope Romero, including recipes for toppings and dressings and other wonderful things to have with your salads. Let's go to Lisa in Sheboygan. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I heard Terry talking about preserved lemons and adding those to salad, and I just had to call in because her book, Vegan Eats World, has kept me vegan over the past I've been vegan for 2.5 years. Yay! And my daughter gave me her cookbook a year ago Christmas, and it is just wonderful. And I've made your preserved lemons, and my mother visits often from Chicago, and she has a very simple salad dressing, you know, just a third of two different types of oil and some vinegar. And we threw into her salad dressing some preserved lemon, and it just perked up the salad so wonderfully. And so now my mom is she's not a convert to veganism, but she loves your preserved lemon recipe, and I try to make them for her and send them down there. But I called in also because my favorite salad is one from another vegan cookbook. It's a vegan Indian cooking cookbook, and it's a North Indian street salad called chaat. And just this past 4th of July, I took it to a potluck picnic, and every time I make this recipe, it's lentils, daikon radish, red onion, tomato, there's cucumber in there, and some Thai or serrano chilies. And you can put cilantro in, but I try to keep it out because my son does not like cilantro. But the dressing is a real simple dressing with just lemon juice, salt. It's got some black salt in there and chili powder. And this a half a teaspoon for 4 cups of lentils, a half a teaspoon of this chaat masala. It's a dried spice powder that has fennel and coriander. I make it myself. And whenever I give out the recipe to this salad, I always include a little bottle of the spice mix because I want people to be able to replicate what I've done. And it really is this chaat spice mix that makes the difference. So I just wanted to call in and thank you for your wonderful, wonderful cookbooks.
Well, thank you very much for calling. Boy, does that sound good. Any reaction or any Indian flavored or spiced salads that you have, Terry?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that sounds fantastic. And I love chaats. Like, you can go to, like, a lot of Indian restaurants in New York City have, like, a whole section that that's, like a wonderful tradition of, like, really fun, like, street food that sort of feels like a salad and, you know, has, like, a lot of, like, fried elements in there as well. So it's really great. I actually do have two Indian-inspired salads. One is definitely a straight-up chaat called bel puri, and I enrich mine with, it has like fried noodles in it that you can get from an Indian store, and I also enrich it with things like avocado, which you usually don't see in chaats, and other Indian spices. And then I also have a potato salad that is an Indian-inspired potato salad that I borrow from samosas, which is a popular Indian street food. It's a fried pastry stuffed with potatoes and peas. And I translate that into a salad. So, you know, and it's a little healthier. You know, you're not frying the salad or anything. But it has potatoes and peas and a curry dressing. And you top it with papadam, which are an Indian fried lentil wafer, to give it kind of that, like, sort of hearty kind of fried crunch on top. So, yeah, I love Indian food, and I love applying all those wonderful spices and cooking techniques to salad here, too.
But that must make you feel good that Lisa was inspired by your Vegan Eats World cookbook, and it kept her vegan for oh so many years.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Thanks for letting me know, Lisa. That's great.
Yeah, well, and you, it should be noted that you are you have a lot of cookbooks under your belt, so to speak. Vegan Eats World, and you were Vegan Pie in the Sky, Vegan Cookies Invade Your Cookie Jar, Vegan Cupcakes Take Over the World. Sounds like a lot of those are sweets. And this is the book, according to your material, that you've been really wanting to write.
Yeah, definitely. Back in the day, you know, we started out with a lot of desserts, because there really weren't a lot of really, really good options for vegans then. Things have changed now. There's lots of really great vegan desserts. But nowadays, I really am interested in just incorporating more vegetables and more meals into my life. You know, desserts are still there, and they're important. I eat them. But I am more really excited about how can I eat vegetables every day? How can I eat, you know, more like healthy proteins every day? And salads. Salads are a natural fit.
Yeah, and these recipes you say appeal to non-vegans too. You are vegan though because you think it is a healthier, more sustainable diet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm vegan for a bunch of reasons. I went vegetarian at 16 because I was a weird teenager interested in eating healthy. But you know, as I learned more about how we make meat and dairy products in this country and in other places, and the impact that it has on the environment and on animals, it's really a whole holistic thing at this point. You know, it's about animal welfare, it's about our health, it's about the environment. I mean, there's so many great reasons to be vegan.
And we are talking about great vegan salads from the author of Salad Samurai, and welcoming your questions for her and welcoming your own recipes for inspired salads. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Terry Hope Romero. She is the author of Salad Samurai, meatless, dairy-free salads that appeal to vegans and non-vegans. Salads that are the main meal, the main dish of a meal, not just a side dish. We're welcoming your questions for her, and we're welcoming your favorite salad toppings, dressings, ingredients. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Who's having a salad tonight for dinner? I know I am. Barb in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Barb.
Good morning. I just wanted to mention there's a doctor out there, Dr. Joel Furman. He has a program called Nutritarian, and what he advocates is everyone eats a huge salad every night for dinner. And he says you need to eat a pound of raw vegetables every day and a pound of cooked vegetables every day, and then you can have whatever else you want. And it's to overcome obesity, diabetes, heart disease. So her book fits right in, gives us a great way to find new salads to eat every night.
That sounds like, yeah, we've had Dr. Furman on this show as well. He is he's a big plant-based diet doctor. Terry, you think that's a good advice?
Yeah, I mean, a pound of, actually, it's like 2 pounds of vegetables each day is not really as much as you think it is. Like, so it's not like this impossible sounding thing, like, how am I going to eat 2 pounds of vegetables? It's actually pretty easy to get that in there. And especially if you're eating a big salad for dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. Ron emails, I have found the single greatest improvements to my flavors have been cognizant of the size of my vegetable cuts and how it affects the overall balance of the flavor fusion. This has been especially true of onion and cucumber. Paper-thin cuts bring everything together as opposed to the quarter-inch roadblocks you generally get in a side salad. What do you think of that? He thinks the thinner the better, apparently.
Yeah, this is very esoteric. I enjoy this email. Yeah, I agree. I'm actually a very big fan of like learning to slice produce well, and I think the better it looks and the better it it's easier to eat, the more you're going to really enjoy it. And in general, like slicing things very thin is probably the way to go, especially with things like onion and cucumber and even cabbage. I talk about using a mandolin, you know, it can be a little scary at first, but like that's something that can definitely improve your salads. Also getting a really great chef's knife and, you know, learning some really basic cutting techniques can really improve how your salads look and even how your salads taste.
Well, we have a shout out from Chris on Twitter who says he likes east-west roasted corn salad. Many exclamation points.
I see Chris right there.
What's that?
I see Chris right there. I see his.
Oh, good. So that's one of your recipes, or one like it anyway.
Yes, it is. It's a roasted corn salad. I mean, the perfect summer salad, right? Corn.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like you were asking about like things you can put on a grill, so you can grill the corn yourself, or you can buy like actually really good roasted corn now too, frozen. And that one is a creamy salad. It has like a creamy cashew-based dressing. It has elements of what I consider sort of like, you know, Mexican in there because it's like a corn-based creamy salad, but also with some Eastern flavors in there, like sriracha and, you know, scallions and things. So it's a really great, delicious salad that you can definitely would be fantastic at potlucks too.
Tell us more about this cashew-based dressing because I've been licking my chops over that all hour long.
Yeah, so cashews, when you soak them in water, make a great base for creamy dressing. So I'm not a really big fan of buying like, you know, pre-made vegan mayonnaise, but I prefer instead to take cashews, and you have to make sure that you get unroasted, unsalted cashews.
Mm-hmm.
And when you soak them in water and then puree them, they create a creamy dressing. They create a creamy base. And I, you know, I, of course, season it with more than just that. I, you know, add things like lemon juice and salt and some garlic and some onion powder and a few other things. And you throw that in there, you blend it together, and you have something that's kind of like a creamy, kind of mayonnaise-y, kind of ranch-like base that you can, that's great as is, or you can start adding, you know, fun things like curry powder or green peppercorns or horseradish or whatever you want to make any kind of creamy dressing that you want that is just great on all kinds of salads.
Excellent. Marianne in Kashina is with us now. Hi, Marianne.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
Morning.
I live up on the Menominee Reservation, and wild rice is kind of a key ingredient. And a wild rice salad is so delicious with, like, cranberries and grapes and mm-hmm. sunflower seeds and red onion. Oh, it is just incredibly delicious.
Want.
Yeah, me too. Sounds great.
Yeah. Not sure if you have any rice in or wild rice in any of your recipes, Terry?
You know, I don't know if I have any wild rice, but I definitely do have a few rice salads. I'm looking right now at a broccoli, peanut, lemongrass rice salad that I put in the fall section. But again, you can make that any time of year. And I use black rice in that salad because I was going for, like, you know, more of an Asian vibe. But you could easily sub in wild rice. You know, you prepare it the way you usually do and chill it, rinse it off a little bit. I also have a beans and rice salad that I was inspired by Creole cuisine, kind of like that red beans and rice thing that you eat on Mondays. So that's another great one. You could throw in a little bit of, along with the brown rice, some wild rice as well. Yeah, I mean, grains are fantastic in salad. You know, you could even just, like, you know, just poach your rice the way you usually do your wild rice and just kind of toss it into pretty much any of these salads, and it would be just great.
So what should we do if we do want to start becoming a salad samurai starting today? We want to have a nice entree salad for dinner tonight. What do you recommend?
One of the easiest ones, because people have been asking me, I mean, I think all the salads are pretty easy, but one of the really basic ones that I love making all the time is one with kale. And with, I make a tempeh, like a quick sauteed tempeh with a little bit of smoked, a little bit of, you know, liquid smoke, and adding that, you know, massaging the kale in like a light vinaigrette, kind of like the one we were talking about before with Jill, and adding tomato and kale and onion. And it's sort of like kind of like a yummy, quick, zesty thing. But basically, pretty much, I didn't make a homemade dressing, find some great, in-season greens. And, you know, maybe make a protein on top that you can put on top when you're done, like, you know, mixing up the salad, like a baked tofu or a, you know, sauteed tempeh. And that's it, really.
Yeah. And in our final minute, what's your hope for the book? Do you want everybody to become salad samurais?
Yeah, I want people to really enjoy making salads. If you didn't like salad before because you had all these, like, ideas that salad was, like, the sad, boring thing that's off to the side, you know, you really get excited about salads now. And again, this is a book for everybody. This is not just for vegans. This is for people that, you know, that just want to eat more vegetables or want to just enjoy, like, really fun, interesting salads or have that one big salad, you know, at the end of the day, you know, to feel like they're getting enough vegetables. Like, this is really for everybody.
And it's great. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Jill.
Terry Hope Romero is author of Salad Samurai, 100 cutting-edge, ultra-hearty, easy-to-make salads you don't have to be a vegan to love. And again, we will post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page the recipes that we talked about a little bit earlier in this half hour. Thanks to Christy Taylor, to Justin Williams, and to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.